Looking now at extra statutory concession A11 and how it dovetails with the long-term residence charge. Years of arrival and departure count as resident for the purposes of the long-term residence charge. This is the case even if the split year treatment in ESC A11 applied in either or both of those years. Therefore, for individuals leaving the UK in 2010-11, the long-term residence charge will potentially apply if the taxpayer was present in the UK on the 6th of April 2010. The fact that he may only have been physically present in the UK for a few weeks of the tax year doesn't remove him from the £30,000 charge. The long-term residence charge therefore takes priority over ESC A11, which is unsurprising, given that relief under ESC A11 is only concessionary. By way of illustration, assume a non-domiciled individual came to the UK in 2003-04, intending to stay for 5 years. He left the UK permanently on the 30th of June 2010. He has UK and foreign income, but no capital gains. ESC A11 will split the years of arrival and departure. ESC A11 applies in the year of departure as the taxpayer is leaving the UK permanently. Therefore, the tax year will be split into resident and non-resident periods either side of the date of departure. The long-term residence will apply from 2010-11 as this is the 8th year of residence. The fact that ESC A11 makes him resident only from the 6th of April to the date of departure is irrelevant. However, whether the £30,000 charge will apply will depend on whether the taxpayer makes a claim under Section 809B to use the remittance basis. His choices for 2010-11 are to claim to use the remittance basis under Section 809B or not to claim to use the remittance basis. If he makes a Section 809B claim, from the 6th of April 2010 to the 30th of June 2010, his UK income is taxed, but his foreign income is taxed only if remitted to the UK. From the 1st of July 2010 to the 5th of April 2011, his UK income is taxed, but his foreign income is not taxed. Any remittances in the non-resident period are irrelevant. No personal allowances are available, and £30,000 is added to his tax bill at the end of the year. There is no apportionment to reflect that he has only been resident for 3 months of the tax year. However, if he does not make a claim to use the remittance basis, from the 6th of April 2010 to the 30th of June 2010, his UK income is taxed and his foreign income is also taxed as it arises. From the 1st of July 2010 to the 5th of April 2011, his UK income is taxed, but his foreign income is not taxed. Again, any remittances while non-resident are irrelevant. Personal allowances are given, but these will be abated if income exceeds £100,000, and there is no £30,000 charge. Where the remittance basis is either claimed under Section 809B or is applied automatically, taxpayers will only pay tax if they bring either foreign income or the proceeds of foreign capital gains into the UK. If foreign income is remitted, the remittance is charged to income tax. The current tax rates for remitted income are the non-savings rates of 20, 40 or 50%. If foreign capital gains are remitted, the remittance is charged to capital gains tax. The current tax rates for remitted capital gains are 18% or 28%. If the source of the remittance is neither foreign income nor foreign capital gains, there is no charge to tax. This will be the case if the taxpayer remits accumulated capital, for example, money accumulated from neither income nor gains sources, for example, loans, gifts, inheritances, etc. Remittances by remittance basis users are self-assessed. Therefore, the onus is on the taxpayer to disclose to HMRC whether a remittance is a taxable remittance, and if so, whether that remittance is income or capital gains. The distinction between income and gains is important because different rates of tax apply to different remittances. HMRC do have a power to inquire into a taxpayer's self-assessment return to ask the taxpayer to verify the source of the remittance. Sometimes it can be difficult to identify the source of the remittance. For example, assume a non-domiciled taxpayer lives in the UK and he sells a foreign asset. The proceeds of sale are paid into an existing foreign bank account. The foreign bank account contains previously unremitted income as well as non-taxable capital. A remittance is made from the foreign bank account to the UK. The question we need to answer is, what is the source of the remittance? Does it come from foreign income, foreign capital gain, or non-taxable capital? As the source cannot be identified, HMRC applies Section 809Q ITA 2007. The bank account is designated as a mixed fund, i.e. a fund containing a variety of different sources. Where a taxpayer makes a claim for the remittance basis and makes a remittance from a mixed fund, strict rules apply when determining what type of income or gains have been remitted. The order in which remittances from a mixed fund will be regarded as being made is as follows. First, the remittance comes from any UK employment income in the account. Second, the remittance comes from any foreign income in the account which has not been taxed in another country. Next, the remittance comes from any foreign chargeable gains in the account which have not been taxed in another country. Next, the remittance comes from any foreign income in the account which has been taxed in another country. Next, the remittance comes from any foreign chargeable gains in the account which have been taxed in another country. And finally, the remittance comes from any income or capital not stated above. This will include any non-taxable capital. The ordering starts with income and gains from the latest year first, and then from each previous year in turn. The general effect of the rules is that income is remitted before capital gains, and income and gains without foreign tax credits are remitted before those qualifying for double tax relief. Essentially, assuming the foreign account does not contain UK employment income, this is a worst first system for the taxpayer. A straightforward transfer of money from a foreign bank account to a UK bank account will obviously constitute a remittance. Overseas income can be used in the UK without being directly received or transferred to the UK. For example, if a non-domiciled person incurs expenditure in the UK on a UK credit card and eventually pays the bill from an offshore bank account, that will constitute a remittance. This is because the money in the offshore bank account has been used or enjoyed in the UK. Before April 2008, foreign income could only be taxed as a remittance if it was brought into the UK as cash. Therefore, a non-domiciled taxpayer could buy a foreign asset with foreign income and then bring that asset into the UK without it being a remittance. This has now changed, such that property brought to the UK and services provided in the UK which derive from foreign income can be treated as remittances. There are exceptions for personal effects and assets costing less than £1,000. Assets owned by an individual on 11th of March 2008 that were purchased from foreign income will remain exempt from being taxed under the remittance basis, even if such assets are subsequently brought into the UK. Before April 2008, a non-domiciled taxpayer could give foreign income to a member of his family. The family member could bring it into the UK, and no remittance was deemed to have been made. However, from 6th of April 2008, a taxable remittance will arise if money or other property representing a person's foreign income or gains is brought into the UK by any relevant person. Relevant persons are the donor's spouse or civil partner, including a person living with the donor as a spouse or civil partner, and children or grandchildren under the age of 18. Some UK resident individuals have used offshore mortgages to purchase property in the UK, often because interest rates may have been lower. Interest on the loan was paid out of foreign income without it being a remittance. From the 6th of April 2008, interest or capital repayments under such offshore loans will constitute a remittance. However, existing mortgages on residential property will be temporarily protected, such that the new rules only apply to loans taken out, or old loans varied, on or after the 12th of March 2008. Protection for pre-2008 loans will end on the 5th of April 2028, or when the loan ends, if before that date. There are a couple of practice questions to complete this session. In question 1, you are asked which of the 6 individuals on the screen in front of you are entitled to UK personal allowances. Simply click on the appropriate ones and check your answer by pressing the button at the bottom of your screen. Let us start with Mr. Capello. Mr. Capello will be entitled to UK personal allowances because he is resident in the UK. Mr. Bush, however, will not be entitled to UK personal allowances. He is not resident in the UK, and neither is he a citizen of the European Economic Area. Mr. Dundee lives in Australia. He is not an EEA citizen or a UK resident, and is not, therefore, entitled to personal allowances. Commonwealth citizens could claim personal allowances up to 2009-10. However, from 2010-11, an individual is no longer entitled to UK personal allowances purely by virtue of being a Commonwealth citizen. Mr. Sarkozy is resident and domiciled in France. He will be entitled to UK personal allowances because he is a citizen of the European Economic Area. Mr. Beckham is domiciled in the UK, but lives and works in the United States. He will be entitled to UK personal allowances because he is a British citizen. Finally, Mr. Abramovich is resident in the UK, but domiciled in Russia. Like Mr. Capello, because he is resident in the UK, he will be entitled to UK personal allowances. The remittance basis can be claimed by individuals who are resident in the UK, but are domiciled outside the UK, or not ordinarily resident in the UK. Therefore, Mr. Capello can claim the remittance basis in respect of his foreign income. So, for example, if he has a bank account in his native Italy, Italian bank interest would only be taxed in the UK if he brings it into the UK. If he keeps the interest offshore, there is no UK tax. Remember, if Mr. Capello has been resident in the UK for at least 7 of the last 9 tax years, he would have to pay the £30,000 remittance basis charge if he claimed the remittance basis. Mr. Bush, Mr. Dundee, Mr. Sarkozy and Mr. Beckham are not resident in the UK. The remittance basis is only relevant for individuals who are resident in the UK. So, the remittance basis will not be claimed by any of these 4 individuals. These 4 people could therefore bring money to the UK, and the UK government have no power to tax those remittances. Mr. Abramovich is resident in the UK and domiciled in Russia. The remittance basis could be claimed in respect of his foreign income. This concludes this lecture on the taxation of overseas income. In the next session, we will look specifically at the taxation of overseas employment income.